fellowship together today, and good meeting. Doing real good. Praise God. God's going to do something here this week. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. We'll be in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew's Gospel chapter 14. Well, I hope the preacher got me on that list of preachers he's had coming in, and you'll pray for me. I'm honored to be here to preach where God's man has preached over the years. And I want to be a blessing to the church, and I hope I'll be a blessing to you. If you'll allow me to, I'll try to be. And I want to be. I believe the Bible and preach it all. And, of course, some of the Scripture gets offensive sometimes and gets close to the hide. But I love it, and I want to be a blessing. I wouldn't get in this pulpit and contradict anything the preacher's ever preached. And I don't want to do that. I want to be a blessing to him and a blessing to you. So you pray for me this week. The singer sang a while ago, Going Home, and then Josh got up here and sang, He's in Our Lives, Though Storm Clouds Be Raging. I want you to listen to the Scripture. I prayed this morning. I'm like sister. I got up and prayed and read my Bible and asked God what He'd have me to do tonight. And I believe He impressed upon my heart to get in Matthew chapter number 14 and verse number 22. Matthew 14 and verse 22. The Bible said, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. When He had sent the multitudes away, He went up and into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of Him, they sent out into all the country round about, and brought unto Him all that were diseased, and besought Him that they might only touch the hem of His garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole." I love that story, don't you? You ask God to help me tonight. Father, Lord, I want to thank You one more time for saving me by the grace of God. I want to thank You, Lord, for rescuing my family from the stormy waters of this old world that were about to engulf us. And Lord, You saved us and You kept us down through the years. And thank You for the call of God upon our life, Lord, and letting us serve You. Every open door You've ever given me, I thank You for it. Thank You for letting me be here this week. Lord, I need You tonight. I pray You'd empty us and cleanse us and fill us one more time with the Spirit of God tonight. Lord, call to my remembrance what You'd have me to say. As You anoint me to preach, I pray You'd anoint these ears to hear and hearts to receive the Word of God tonight. Lord, we'd love to see old-fashioned revival fires to burn again. And Lord, we'd love to see it start this week here at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Somewhere, some way, somehow, Lord, I pray revival would come again for Jesus' sake. We'll love You and praise You and thank You now for all You do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you'll stay with me tonight, I want to do a little bit of exposition. I love to preach and get in the Scripture and do an expository sermon. That's going down through the Scriptures verse by verse. I love to study that way. And if you don't love your Bible, it'll probably be boring to you. But if you'll stay with me for a little while tonight, I want you to look at these 12 or 14 verses quickly, and we'll be through as briefly as we can. And I know you're not in a hurry tonight. But in verse number 22, the Bible said, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. Now look over in verse number 34. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. Here's a little simple setting from a sermon tonight. Jesus said, get in the ship and go to the other side. And so they got in the ship and they went to the other side, according to verse number 34, when they were gone over into the land of Gennesaret. But I'm telling you, in between when they got on the boat and when they got to the other side, there's a whole lot of things took place. A lot of things transpired between verse number 22 and verse number 34. And that's where I want to get my message tonight. And the reason several of those things took place, I found it in verse number 24 tonight. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. The things that occurred between verse 22 and verse number 34 was because of the contrary winds. And I want to picture that like Jesus saving you and me by the grace of God and putting us in the old ship of Zion and said, you're going to heaven. But I'm telling you, between here and glory, between here and the promised land, there's going to be a lot of things take place. And one reason the things are going to take place in our life and in the church is because of verse number 24, the winds are going to be contrary. I don't know of a ship that anybody ever built that wasn't designed and encounter storms in its life. That's what they build ships for, to carry loads or cargo or people or whatever from one place to another. And I don't think any shipbuilder has ever built a ship that he didn't think that sometime or another that ship was going to go through some storms. I believe you'd have to say amen to that tonight. And so in these last days in which we're living, if you'll notice my scripture tonight, the Bible said in verse number 23, when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come. I hope you realize tonight we're living in the setting sun of the church age. I believe with all of my heart, God has chosen this generation to live in the setting sun, the evening time of the church age. I believe it's almost over. I believe the day's far spent, the night's coming, and we better get done what we can while we can. And so it is evening, the Bible said, and the ship is out in the midst of the sea, and it's been tossed to and fro with these winds, and the seas are beating upon that little boat. And a lot of things transpire in the life of these apostles. So, if you'll give me your attention for a little while tonight, here's what I want to preach. Conquering contrary winds. The Bible said in verse number 24 that the wind was contrary. There's never been a saint of God that's ever lived from the time he got born till God called him home that the contrary winds are not going to beat upon him. There's not a one of you young families that are here tonight that have purpose in your heart, we're going to raise our family for God, live for the Lord, that storms are going to come in your life. There's never been a preacher that started a church, never been a ministry that's ever been born of God that hasn't encountered contrary winds that blows upon that ministry. And I've been saved for a long time, preaching a long time, pastored a long time, and I saw a lot of folks that did not survive the storms that came in their life. And the reason I think is because they didn't learn how to handle contrary winds. I doubt if you sail very much. I'm not a sailor, and I've never owned a sailboat. But I have learned a little bit when a sailor wants to go from point A to point B, and those winds are blowing in a different direction, he has to turn that sail or turn those sheets or whatever he's got up there in the wind. He has to adjust those things to whichever way the wind is blowing, and if he wants to survive and get to where he intends to go. And so the winds are going to blow in your life, try to blow you off course.
They're going to try to keep you from getting out there where God told you to go, and you're going to have to learn some things if you're going to survive. Now, let me give you three or four things in this chapter. Here's the way I divided this text tonight. In verse number 22 and verse number 23, I saw the constraining words of a Savior. Jesus, the Bible said, constrained His disciples to get into the ship. And those are urgent. That's an urgent word. Jesus constrained them and compelled them and encouraged them. Get in the boat and go to the other side. There's things we need to do over there in the land of Gennesaret. And so verse 22 and 23, I see the constraining words of the Savior. In verse number 24 through 27, I see the contrary winds of the sea. That's what I'm going to preach about tonight. But in verse number 28 through 21, stay with me, I see the catastrophe of a wandering saint. Peter got out of the boat and started wandering around. Now, everybody won't agree when I get to Brother Peter in just a moment, but I want you to stay with me. I saw the catastrophe that he got into. And then verse number 32 through 33, I see some conquering worshipers that stayed in the ship. And then verse number 34 through 36, I see the conversion of some weak sinners that was over there that God told these disciples to go rescue. And so that's what this text is all about tonight. God constrained them. Jesus constrained them. Get in the boat and go to the other side. They're doing exactly what the Lord told them to do. And up jumps the devil. The wind starts a-blowing. And that little ship is tossed like a cork out on the sea. And neighbor, you mark it down. Peter got out of the boat. And I think he got in more trouble than he had when he was in the boat. Amen. And everybody don't agree with that. But it won't hurt them to be wrong if they want to. Amen. And then Jesus rescued him and put him back in the boat. And they got to the other side, and a bunch of people got saved, and a bunch of folks got healed, and God got honored by them touching the hem of His garment. So if the Lord will help me for a little while tonight, I got three things I want to give you. I want to preach on conquering contrary winds. They're going to blow in your life. Let me tell you why those winds are going to blow upon us, and in particular, since we've had this election that we just had. God's allowed us to live in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 14. I read it today. He talked about the Laodicean church age. And he said the Laodicean church was a lukewarm church. And he said that church was rich and increased with goods. And they thought they had need of nothing. But Jesus said, you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Amen. And I'm telling you, religion today, they think that they've got everything under control. And they don't realize they cannot see what God's seeing. And they're not doing what God commanded the church to do. And so God's allowed us to live and allowed us to preach. We that are preachers, He's allowed us to minister and preach the Word of God in the Laodicean church. And I think the church of Philadelphia is still here. And I think those two, and we're about to wrap up the church of Philadelphia and go out of here in the rapture. And the Laodicean church is in a whole lot of trouble. Amen. But that's what's going to cause our trouble. You know who crucified Jesus? It was a religious crowd. And you know who stoned the Apostle Paul? It was a religious crowd. And that's who stoned their Stephens and persecuted their Pauls and crucified Christ. It was religion. And I guarantee you, before the Lord comes, if He doesn't come tonight, the contrary winds are going to beat up on churches like your church. And they're going to beat up on the pastor, a kind of man that'll preach the Word of God. And so here's what I'm trying to say. You better batten down the hatch and get out the foul weather gear. The seas are going to get rough between here and the rapture. The contrary winds are going to blow, and I don't know how many's going to survive them. But as for me and my house, I made up my mind, I want to survive, don't you? I want to finish what God told me to do. I want to run my race with patience, endure hardness as a good soldier, and hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But everybody's not going to survive, I can tell you that. Because the Bible said in Matthew 24:12, He said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. This church ought to be full tonight, but it's not full because a lot of folks' love for Jesus has waxed cold. Because iniquity is abounding and the love of many has waxed cold. These are perilous days. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, Paul said, this know also, in the last days perilous times are going to come. That word perilous means dangerous. Perilous times are going to come. Why, Paul? Because men are going to be lovers of their own self. They're going to be covetous. They're going to be proud. They're going to be blasphemer. He said, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. He said, truce breakers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitor, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He said, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no farther, because their folly is going to be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. We have been chosen to live in perilous days. We've been chosen to live when the Laodicean church is going to come on the scene, and they're going to have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof, and they're going to despise those that believe what we believe, and they're going to despise churches like your church that has some standards tonight. We are in a whole lot of trouble. Are you listening to me? And the contrary winds are going to blow. I could give you a lot more scripture. I don't have time tonight, but I'm telling you, you better get ready for some contrary winds that are going to blow. I'm telling you, it's going to come as surely as I'm preaching to you tonight. I don't know how many can survive it, but I want to, don't you? And I want you to. And your pastor wants you to know how to survive the storm and the contrary wind that's going to blow in your life. The preacher mentioned about 2 Thessalonians and the strong delusion. And God said, except there come a falling away first, the man of sin cannot be revealed. And so there's going to be love waxing cold. There's going to be storms beating upon the church. And they're going to be despisers of those that are good. And there's going to be a falling away. But I made up my mind, I'm not going to be a part of it. I want to be more than a conqueror through the Lord Jesus Christ that loved me and gave Himself for me. So if you'll let me preach about three little quick things tonight, and we'll be through. How to conquer the contrary winds that are going to blow in your life. If you got your Bible open, stay with me just a minute tonight, and we'll be through. In verse number 26 tonight, the Bible said, and when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. I circled and marked fear in verse number 26. Down in verse number 30, but when Peter, saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. I marked afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Look at verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I marked faith in verse number 31. Here's a little simple thought. I hope you'll get it in your heart. Jot it down on a piece of paper. Write it in your Bible. If you're going to conquer your contrary winds, your faith is going to have to conquer your fear. Now, you listen to me? That is simple. That is elementary. But you would be amazed. Here's men, lettered men, fishermen, and they had sailed the seas, and they had made a living fishing, and now they get out in this storm in the perfect will of God, doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. and this storm starts a blowing, and the waves start tossing that little ship to and fro, and you got grown men. That crew was made up of mature grown men, and they began to cry for fear. Are you listening to me? And their faith went to the bottom. Fear and faith are completely contrary one to the other. Are you listening to me? When you get afraid, if you aren't careful, your faith will be gone. And that's what got Peter in trouble when he got out of the boat. We'll look at him in a minute. He said, "Lord, if it's you." Let me say this tonight. Don't ever get out of the boat. Neighbor, if you don't know the voice that's calling you, amen. Peter said, "If it's you, Lord," and he got out of the boat. And I'm getting ahead of myself. But Jesus said, "Why are you afraid?" And the other disciples were afraid. And Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith." Their faith has plummeted. Their faith is at the bottom of the totem pole, and they cannot control their contrary winds. Are you listening to me? The storms are going to blow in your life, and they're going to blow in my life, and it's not going to get any better. I'm not trying to paint you a dark picture. The outlook looks not too good, but the upper looks looking better all the time. Amen. But I'm telling you, the winds are going to blow, and the waves are going to beat, and the howling forces of hell are going to beat up on the church and the child of God tonight. But we must not let fear conquer our faith. You've got to keep the faith. The Bible said this is the victory. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. And so get a hold of your faith. God is still in control. Brother Joshua said, the winds and the sea still obey Him. And neighbor, they have to listen when He tells them to be still. And they have to lay down at His feet. So there must be a reason, preacher, for this storm beating upon that little ship. It could have been God sending the storm. It could have been the devil trying to sink the boat. They could have maybe gotten in trouble if they were out of the will of God. But I'm telling you tonight, they got afraid, whatever the source of the storm was, and their faith failed, and their fear arose, and they're about to be destroyed. 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 18, the Bible said, "Fear hath torment." People are tormented by fear. We got 4 or 5 locks on the door. We got a chain link fence with razor wire on the top of it. We got 2 or 3 Doberman pinschers we hadn't fed in 2 or 3 days running around the yard. I'm telling you, we're scared to death tonight, and we don't know what's going on. But I'm telling you, let me show you what David said. Look in Psalms 56. My Bible reading today was in the Psalms. And in Psalms chapter number 56, I could quote about every verse I give you, but I like to read them to you. You might think I'd misquote it. But look in Psalms 56 and verse number 3. David said, "For the sake of time, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." Are you listening to me? Verse number 1, Psalms 56, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O Thou Most High," listen, "what time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee." I know you may be here. If you get mad at me, the devil will get you. Amen. I don't know. I hadn't looked at your cars. Somebody said, "I backed in the parking place last night, preacher." Well, I'm not picking on you. I got your attention. Amen. But we got a bunch of rednecks running around, and they got on the back of their pickup truck, "No fear." That's about as stupid a statement as anybody has ever made. No fear. You listen to me? A whole duty of man's to fear God and keep His commandment. There are some things I don't fear. I don't fear death. I believe I'd swing out over the grave on a ripe sweet potato vine and sing "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And Paul said, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death, the sin, strength of sin's the law. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." But I have been afraid once or twice in my life, Brother Josh. And the psalmist David in Psalms 56, he's a giant killer. He's the one that slew Goliath with a smooth stone. Are you listening to me? and he's the one that cut off 1,000 of the Philistines' heads and let them roll. But David said in Psalm 56:3, what I have learned, that what time I am afraid, I'm going to trust in the Lord. And so when you do get afraid, and you will, when the winds begin to beat upon you, and neighbor, when the howling waves and the winds are about to swallow you up, the way David said, when I get afraid, I trust in the Lord. These men got afraid, and they didn't learn to trust in the Lord. They got afraid, and they didn't recognize Him walking in the storm. You're going to have to realize tonight, standing somewhere in the shadow, you're going to find Jesus. No saint of God has ever been in a storm but what Jesus didn't know where you was and what was going on, and He knows when to say it's enough and say, peace be still. Your faith is going to have to conquer your fear. Fear has torment. 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. Let me tell you how to look at your storm. Everybody in here just about would say, I love the Lord. And if you do, and I thank God you do, and I love Him too. But if my love is not perfect, God may allow me to get afraid so He can perfect my love. Are you listening to me? 1 John 4:18, it's a good verse. You ought to read that. I love the epistle to John. The preacher said he did. Fear hath torment, but perfect love casts out that fear. And so God allows you to get afraid, and He's perfecting your love for Him. When you go through a storm, and you come out of a contrary wind that's beating upon this little ship, I'll guarantee you they loved Him more when they come out of that storm than they did when they went in it. Are you listening to me? We have wept, and we have cried, and we've seen some dark nights in our life, but every time we come out of one of them, I love Him more than I did when I went in. Are you listening to me? Most of you, several of you know about our granddaughter, and I don't have time to dwell on that tonight, but our oldest granddaughter had a terrible brain bleed, her brain bleeding in two places, and they said people don't walk out of here with what she's got. I'm telling you, that was probably the darkest 14 days of our life. Paul said in Acts 27, we didn't see the moon or the stars for 14 days. Are you listening to me? And that was about the way we were. But I got on my knees this morning, and I said, thank you, Jesus, for bringing us through that storm. I love you more tonight. I love you more today than I did when you let me go through that storm. Are you listening to me? And He still would have been God if the outcome had been different. He would have still been God, and I want to still love Him. Are you listening to me tonight? Your storms tonight is God perfecting His love in you. If there's some imperfection in your love, then God may allow you to get in a storm, and you would say, why, Lord, has this happened in my life? And why are these things going on in my life? If you aren't careful, that howling wind, it'll whisper to you, He doesn't care about you. He doesn't love you. This is some payday for you living for God and getting in the ship and obeying the Lord. That howling wind will say, if He loved you, He'd be here with you. If He loved you, He wouldn't let you be in this storm. And all the time, Jesus is in the mountain and He's a praying like He is tonight, ever living to make intercession for, seated at the right hand of the Father, and He knows what's going on in your life. He knows where His church is tonight, and He's got His eye upon her, watching over us. The Bible said, like an eagle watches over her young. I'm telling you, an eagle can see. Amen. And God can see, and God knows where we are. And when He perfects that concerning us, He'll step out in your storm, and He'll say, peace be still. And the waters will still have to lay down at His feet and lick His feet like a little puppy. But until He accomplishes in our life what He's doing, He may let the storm rage. Yeah, right. Contrary winds beating upon the church. beating up on a good family, beating up on a preacher. I'm telling you, I don't think a vessel's worth much until they put it through the fire. And are you listening to me? You say, I'm not in a storm, preacher. Well, you will be, or you have been, or you are, and the contrary winds are going to blow. And when they blow, don't let your fear overcome your faith. The Apostle Peter and these men on that ship, men of great faith, and they got in that storm, and Jesus said, O ye of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? You've never had a storm. You've never had a contrary wind. That God is not bigger than that storm. And you never will have. But their faith, preacher, went to zero, and their fear rose up to the top of the totem pole, and they're scared to death. Are you listening to me? Happens in the best families. Happens in the men of God that act right and live right and believe that Bible and preach that Bible. Churches go through storms. We can't explain them. We just have to believe what God's doing and trust God in the storm. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. You listen to me? In sight, it didn't look like there was any hope. But I'm telling you, we not only walk by faith, we sail by faith. If you apply it to the old ship of Zion, and God knows what He's doing, and God knows where you are, and if you'll listen to Him, He will bring you through the storm that's in your life. I mark fear in verse number 26 or 7. I mark being afraid in verse number 27. I mark little faith in verse number 31. And if you are going to be a conqueror, you're going to have to let your faith build up. And neighbor, let your fear go down, and you can be a victorious Christian. Secondly tonight, not only did their fear have to be subdued by their faith, and their faith had to conquer their fear. But I want you to look tonight, and I don't know how you preach or preach it, but I want you to look at it the way I think God dealt with me about it. In verse number 28, the Bible said that Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Look at verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down, I marked down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. And in verse number 31, Jesus rebuked him and said, O you of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? I've been corrected, and I've been criticized, and I've been shot through. But let me look at this a different way. I'll give Peter, when I stand before him, if the Lord would allow me to, and tonight, I would say this about Peter. He'll get an A for walking on water.
Yes, sir.
Thank God he did. I believe that. I'll give him an A for walking on water. But let me ask you this. What did Jesus tell him to do in verse number 22? Get in the boat and go to the other side. The storm starts raging. And I think, if you look at it with me tonight, Peter said, this boat's gone down. And I'm wanting out of here. So he throwed his foot over the rail and said, Lord, if it be you, do you pray if, or do you pray in faith believing? He didn't even know who Jesus was out there. If it be you. But the Bible said he went down. Jonah went down too. Peter went down out of the boat, went down in the water, went down, neighbor, about to be drowned, and had to cry out worse than his crying on the board, Lord, save me, lest I perish. And Jesus picked him up. Here's my point. If you're going to conquer contrary wind, your faith is going to have to conquer your fear, and your staying is going to have to conquer your straying. Here's what I think Peter should have done. I'm talking about getting in the will of God for your life, and don't let storms shipwreck you. Just because you get in a storm, that does not mean for you to pray for God to get you out of the contrary wind and abandon the flock. Are you listening to me? Let me ask you this. What if all 10 or 12 men that's on that ship, what if every one of them had done what Peter did? You'd have had a ghost ship drifting across the Sea of Galilee with nobody to man the wheel. Now, I know it'll get quiet on me. It's all right. What if every member of this church did what some members do when the winds blow contrary? Their faith has fallen, their fear has risen, and Peter said, I'm bailing out. He got out of the boat and liked to drown. B.R. Lakin said this years ago, I'm going to be like a banana. I'm going to stay with the bunch. When you get out by yourself, you're the one that gets peeled. Hey, listen. We don't peel stalks of bananas. We peel them one at a time. Now, I don't know. Here's what I'm trying to say. I need the church. I need God's people. You listen to me. Your pastor needs you. You need him. You need each other. Stay in fellowship. Love one another. Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, and he said, bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. But woe to the man that's alone when he falls, the Proverbs writer said. Are you listening to me? And Peter is out there by himself. Oh, he looked good for a while. Are you listening to me? And he's walking the water. And the other disciple may have said, man alive, I believe that'd be the thing to do. But give him about three steps, and those winds got so boisterous out there by himself, and he got his eyes off the Lord and got his eyes on him circumstances, and he started to sink. And I bet they said, praise God, I'm in the boat. I'm glad I'm not out there where he's at. Amen. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. I've been in the church, saved by the grace of God, for 42 plus years. I made up my mind, if the ship goes down, I'm going down with the ship. I'm not getting out there by myself and abandon the house of God and get away from the flock and get out there and let the devil peel me. I made up my mind, I'm going to stay with the church. Paul said, forsake him not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. That crowd that gets out of the church, and I love them. My heart is broken when they leave, and your pastor stands and weeps as they go away, and he knows they're going to get in trouble. He listened to me. And the neighbor's going to get worse. It's not going to get better out there. And it breaks our heart when we see them do that. But I'm telling you, make up your mind. If I'm going to conquer my storm and the contrary wind, I'll be better off in the house of God with the church than I would out there by myself. I'm telling you, we need each other. Whether you believe it or not, a lot of preachers, I think, don't know that. But we need each other. I need my wife. I need my family. I need the household of faith. We are a family. You're the body of Christ. The preacher said last night, he said, we're the body. Some of us in the left arm. Some of us in the right arm. I guarantee you with that 11-man crew, if they were 12 on that boat, if there were 11 of them up there, there may have been a left hand missing, or there may have been a right hand missing. According to Peter, I'd say there would have been a big mouth missing. Amen. Peter was always running his mouth and never getting in trouble. That's why old John that I preached about, he out got him to the tomb, and John got there first. You remember when they said he's alive, and they jumped up, Peter and John started running, and that old man outrun Peter to the tomb. And then Peter come barging in, push him out of the way, and he just run in. Men rush in where angels fear to tread. But I'll tell you why old man John beat young Peter to the tomb. It's hard to run with your foot in your mouth. Peter was always running his mouth, cutting people's ears off, and going to do all kinds of stuff. I ain't got time to deal with him tonight. But I believe you can preach him walking water. I thank God for his faith. I'm glad he is a walking when the others was a watching. You can preach him any way you want to preach him. Listen to me. It's like a prodigal son. I preached him lost, backslidden, and saved, and get people right with God all three ways. There's different ways to look at Scripture. But I believe Peter would have been better off if it had stayed in the boat. I believe the first last orders he had was to get in the boat and go to the other side. He got in a storm and he said, "Lord, get me out of this storm. I don't like it. The seas are tossing and the winds are blowing. And Lord, I'm about seasick and I'm tired of all of this beating and this battering. Would you bid me, if it's you, bid me come unto you?" And I wrote in my Bible today, be careful of voices you hear when the wind's blowing. Have you ever been by yourself in an old spooky house? Me and Miss Range have stayed in some places since I've been on the road preaching. We stayed in an old house up in West Virginia. I guess that thing's 150 or 200 years old. And those winds say,
you look over at me.
I took the boys from the boys' home up there. We were staying in the boys' home. And I went in back in the back of the house, used the bathroom, and lifted the little lid up, which you men don't know how to do that. But I lifted it up and used the bathroom, and I started to walk off, and that lid said, "Pow!" I looked around, man, my shirt. I said, "I'm going to have me some fun, buddy." And I raised that lid up and I pushed it and I run in there and got laying on the floor with them boys. And I said, "Boys, I think his house is haunted." They said, "What?" There's three of them in one sleeping bag. I said, "I think his place is haunted." They said, "Why, preacher?" I said, "I heard something." About that time that commode lid fell out. They jumped up. My grandson, 6'4", and there's another big old boy about the size of him, and three of them got in the same sleeping bag laying in that thing as it's there. You got to be careful what noises you hear in the dark. You listen to me? Can I give you a verse of Scripture? I know everybody don't believe what I'm preaching tonight, but I want to shoot you with a verse of Scripture. Look in Psalm 106. I said, Peter's in a storm. The winds are blowing. He's afraid. He's doubting. He's got little faith. And neighbor, he gets in trouble as sure as the world. Here's a verse God gave me when he told me to preach the message. I believe it's Psalms 106. If you turn your Bible real quick, a little different from last night, but I'm telling you, you can survive your storms, what I'm trying to get you to see. In Psalms 106 and verse number 13. You beat me there, so wait just a minute. Psalms 106. And verse number 13, I got two pages stuck together. Don't read it till I get there. Amen. Psalms 106, verse 13. This is the nation of Israel. They soon forget God's works, His works. They waited not for His counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Are you looking at verse 15? He gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. Here's what I'm trying to caution you. When you get in a storm, you better be very careful what kind of prayer you pray. The nation of Israel, they got in a hard spot. They're wandering around in the wilderness here in a desert place. And the Bible said they began to pray and asking God. They didn't wait for counsel. They just began to ask God for a bunch of stuff and said, "We wish we was back in Egypt. It's better for us to be back there. We don't like this bread God's feeding us. We don't like these circumstances we're in. And Lord, we wish You would change these circumstances in our life." And God said, "What did you say?" "Oh yeah, I heard you. I'm going to grant you a request, but your soul's going to be lean." Now I'll guarantee you, your pastor can tell you preachers that a church has gotten a hard spot and they have got with God, said, "God, get me out of this mess." And they keep pushing God and begging God to bail them out of the situation they're in. And I'm telling you, they get out of the frying pan and get in the fire. He will grant you. Brother Jack Tripp, I love him, don't you? Preaching machine. He is a member of my church. And me and Brother Jack, we discussed the Bible and branded cows and went to hog sale. And we dug post hole. We enjoyed fellowshipping.
We talked about that verse, and I said, Brother Jack, let me ask you a question. I said, do you believe you can pray your way out of the will of God? Let me ask you, you think you can pray your way out of the will of God? I do. Somebody just keep asking. One of these days, God said, okay, go ahead, buddy. You remember the young man wanted to run? Let me run. You said, you don't have a message. Let me run. Tell David. Let me run. Absalom's hanging from an oak tree by the hair of his head. Let me run. Tell David. Let me run. You don't have a message. Let me. He said, well, go ahead and run. And he run without a message. I think he got out of the will of God. I know preachers that have prayed and got out of the will of God for their life. I know families that have prayed and got out of the will of God for their life. We're tired of listening to that old loud mouth, sweating, slobbering preaching. We don't want to hear that anymore. Lord, would you just move us? Lord, we're tired of these standards. Isn't it amazing? I pastored 36 years right at it. It's always amazed me when they blow up, and some of them pray about it. They said they did. We prayed, preacher, and it's the perfect will of God for us to go. And they do go. And they experience leanness to their soul. They lose their children. They lose their joy. They lose their victory. They lower their standards. And they go, neighbor, just deeper and deeper and farther away from God. I think they prayed their way out of the will of God. God will grant your request, but He'll send leanness to you, sir. Here's what I think about Peter. And you can prove, I preach him walking the water and everything. You'll listen to me. Jesus said, get in the boat, go to the over Gennesaret. There's a bunch of sick people, diseased people, they need healed. And right out in the middle of the will of God, this storm starts a-raging. And Peter said, Lord, if it be you, get me out of this mess. I think he is more concerned about himself than he was the other men in the ship. The Bible said men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Now, you listen to me. If you're going to conquer your contrary winds, keep your faith strong. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the Word of God. You know that. But also, you're going to have to learn to stay and do what God told you to do and watch out what your old self and flesh wants to do. Amen. This flesh starts crying out. I'm telling you, the will of God's not always easy. It's a battleground. It's a storm, and they're raging, they're beating upon it. But just because you're in a storm doesn't mean you're out of the will of God or you need to get out of it. Are you listening to me? I can give you a whole bunch of scripture in 2 Timothy 3:12. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I quoted most of that chapter down to verse 12 a while ago. Living godly, suffering persecution. Lord, get me out of this persecution. Well, just quit living godly the way you've been living. And you'll think, well, things will ease up. I've seen family after family and individual after individual get out of a good, fundamental Bible-believing church. And there's one in Greenville. They've built 3 or 4 buildings. And that thing looks like it's just blowing the walls out. That's where Terry Bowden and everybody else, the big shots, go. And they've got all these disgruntled Baptists that's poured in there, neighbor. And they're just running over. And they say the church is growing. Brother Alfred Willis said he's going down the road and he saw a dead dog on the side of the road. That was on Wednesday. And he come back on Sunday and that dog was bigger on Sunday than it was on Wednesday. He said, does that dog be dead? Is that dog growing? He said, no, it ain't growing, it's swelling. And about Monday, it blew up and caused a stench all up and down the highway. Yeah. Hello, Tokyo. A lot of things look good and look like they're growing. But they're not growing, they're swelling. Them big dog get in trouble, buddy. If you're going to conquer your contrary winds, ride out your storm. And I love the church, and I love you, and I love your pastor, and I thank God for letting me be you. Let me ask you this. Do we always, as independent Baptists, have to get in a fight to know the will of God? How come people that know the will of God and feel like God's moving somewhere, it's always after a blow-up and a fist fight in the church? Hate one another, sowing discord and telling lies. Well, that's the perfect will of God, preacher, for us to go. No, it ain't the perfect will of God. It's the perfect will of God to get right with each other and then see what God wants you to do. I've been hurt. I've been discouraged. I've been afraid. But I tell you what, I had an old pastor got me rooted and grounded in the Bible, and he said, "Son, stand your ground and wait for further orders." Are you listening to me? If you're going to conquer your storm, they're going to come. All live godly suffer persecution. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Lord delivereth him out of them all. Stay there until God delivers you out of your storm. Jesus is walking on the water, getting ready to calm that storm, and Peter didn't wait. He got out of the boat before Jesus calmed the storm. Job 14:1, man that's born a woman is few days and full of trouble. Job 5:7, man's born into trouble, sparks fly upward. Job 3:26, I wasn't quiet, I wasn't at peace. He said, and yet trouble came. You're going to have trouble in the will of God. If it's easy, everybody be wanting to do it, but everybody ain't been wanting to do it. But I'm telling you this, when the storm comes, if you're going to survive it, keep your faith strong. Stay and do what God told you to do. Till he tells you to do something else. Be careful what you request for him to do for you. Lastly, Matthew 14:33. They that were in the ship came and worshipped him. Peter's worried and about to drown, and they're worshiping and about to jump and shout and praise God on the boat. Which one do you want to be? Would you rather be in the water sinking or in the boat singing? Now, I'm not picking on you. I'm not a know-it-all, and I'm not a smart aleck, and I'll sit down and let you help me. Matthew 14, I'll let you help me. I'm looking at it a little different eyes. Would you rather been in the boat with 10 or 11 men around you to help you or been out there by yourself about to drown? I'd rather be in the boat. Here's for thirdly, if you're going to conquer your storms, faith's got to overcome fear. Staying's got to overcome straying, wandering around out here, blown about by every wind of doctrine, not steadfast, not unmovable, not always abandoning the work of the Lord. Yeah. Peter's not doing what God told him to do to start with. He sent leanness to his soul. Well, listen to me. Your worshiping is going to have to overcome your worrying when you're in a storm. These men had the same storm Peter had. They were afraid just like Peter was. They were being tossed just like Peter was. They're worshiping. And when you start worshiping, Jesus gets on board. You get in a storm in your life, don't ever get out of church. I go to church when I feel like it. I go to church with a headache. I go to church. When you get my age, you're sick all the time, I reckon. Amen. And I'm not old. The preacher told me today I wasn't old. Amen. So I'm not old. I'm just been around here a long time. And I just made up my mind. I'm going to church. If I'm contagious and you're contagious, don't worry. I mean, stay away from me if you're contagious. I don't want to get sick. But I'm telling you, if you'll learn to worship God in the midst of your storm, He's liable to let the sun rise and shine upon you and dispel the clouds and neighbor bless you in a special way. And He's perfected the love, and here's what the Lord may. While they're going to worship me in the storm, they know I'm all God, I'm all powerful, I can take care of the storms in their life. I've accomplished what I wanted in that storm in their life. And He said, let's go to the other side and get the job done. What's He doing in your storm tonight? Are you listening to me? It might be a physical storm. It might be a financial storm. Mr. Bush and this economy and Wall Street has taken me and Miss Range's retirement. I'm not begging, don't. But I'm telling you, it's ruined a lot of people's retirement. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I have been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I have to drink Atkins shake to keep my weight where it's at. I'm still fat as a hog. God takes care of us. You ever seen a sparrow out on the interstate with a sign, "We'll work for food"? I hadn't seen one yet, have you? If I get up tomorrow and Mr. Obama's got the sparrows out there with a sign, "We'll work for food," and we're in a whole lot of trouble, buddy. He cares for the sparrows. Don't you think he cares for you? He clothes the lilies of the field. Don't you think he's going to care for you? He'll take care of you. Storms, contrary winds, tossing to and fro. Trust him. Believe in him. Stay and do what God told you to do till the last shot's fired and the smoke clears away. And keep worshiping. Here's the thing that's missing about everywhere I go to preach. We're not worshiping the Lord. The Bible said in Proverbs 17:22, "A merry heart doeth good like a mess." You come to church and worship the Lord. I mean, when you leave here, buddy, you're bubbling over. God's lit your fire. God's kindled a fire in your soul. And you leave here with a song in your heart, even praise unto God. That's what worshiping's all about. Here's my cornfield theology, and I'm through. Why did God put Sunday on the first day of the week? He could have made it the seventh day. Some people think it is the seventh day and the Sabbath day and everything else, but it's Sunday, the first day, the Lord's day. Why did He put it the first day of the week? If you worship on Sunday, if you worship right on Sunday, you can walk right on Monday. If you worship right on Sunday, you can work right the rest of the week. Amen. He put worship the first day of the week so you get started off right. It's like buttoning your coat. If you get started right, you're going to end up right. Amen. But if you get started wrong on Sunday, your week ain't going to go right. Amen. You'll look like you got out of a rag bag when you get there. Amen. Quit your worrying. And start worshiping God. And I'll guarantee you, the Bible says, this too will come to pass. I'm not saying don't be afraid. David said, when I'm afraid, I'm just going to trust Him. Preacher, I'm in a storm. I don't know what's going to happen. I've been there too. And I'm going to trust Him that can take care of the storm. That's all you can do. I don't know what this nation, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Do you? We can read the Bible, and your preacher's a Bible student, and we know some things God's already said in His Word, but I'm telling you this, I don't know what all is going to take place in the future. But here's the peace in my heart. God is still on the throne. And it is going to come to pass. It's going to come out just like He said it. And He's allowed us to live in these last days where we can see it. I preached about it for 40 years. Now it's coming to pass. So you can conquer your contrary winds if you'll do three things. Keep trusting, keep your faith up. Stay doing what He told you to do. Don't wander around, get careless, and your love wax cold, and keep worshiping the Lord. And I'll guarantee you the sun will shine again in your life one of these days. Thank you, Pastor.